I know. Oh, Christ. The lip readers amongst you would have actually seen me say that I'm really fresh and in fine fettle this morning after a hard weekend. That fresh and that fine that I didn't turn the microphone on. Anyway, look, I did a mini roll call there. I'm not going to do it again. Good morning to everybody who's tuned in. I was telling you before I realised that I was muted that I'm going to rattle through this morning on account of the fact that I'm doing a pre-recorded interview with a guest who's in Japan at 10:30 UK time for the radio show later on this afternoon. So I'll be as succinct and I'll be as quick as I can, really, going through the papers this morning. Anyway, good morning. I know. Lizzie Dunphy. I see the comments coming in. I've got the thing. I can see the comments there. Yeah. you have to laugh. Yeah, heavy old time Saturday night, Sunday morning. And maybe I did mention before I realised I was muted, maybe the best thing in the world wasn't to do the radio show yesterday. Not my best idea, but then, you know, when you're not in your right mind and there's nobody really to tell you not to go on the air, well, you just do what you want anyway, don't you? Okay, then, let's go to the front pages of the papers and see where we are. So it's going to be a pretty interesting week, this. No doubt, it'll be an interesting week. Let's start off today with the Daily Telegraph. Johnson confident he is closing on a deal. So there are a number of articles this morning about the meeting, the imminent meeting between UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and European Union Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker. Johnson is going to meet him today. And Johnson himself is writing in the Telegraph. He is writing himself in the Telegraph this morning. I passionately believe that I can strike a Brexit deal within weeks, says Johnson. I can do a deal, says Johnson, in time for the EU summit, which will go ahead on October 17th, in time for the 27 countries in Europe to approve it. I can get us out with a deal, says Boris Johnson. Right. Must be pointed out that David Cameron, Johnson's former Bullingdon Club pal and also former Prime Minister, who obviously oversaw the referendum, introduced the referendum and then lost it and then resigned as Prime Minister very shortly thereafter. Cameron's memoirs are out. Are they out? Are they available? I mean, I'm obviously not going to be partaking of them, but I'm not sure if they're out now or if they're coming out this week, but they are being serialised in the Times newspaper. And in today's extracts, David Cameron holds very little back in scathing criticism of Boris Johnson and Michael Gove. In fact, Cameron says on a number of occasions that Boris Johnson isn't a Brexiteer. He's always been pro-European Union, and that the position he has adopted now is a career move. I could have told you that. But anyway, so that's everywhere today, this meeting between Johnson and Juncker and the Incredible Hulk and all of that. We'll come to that in a minute. So that's the Telegraph today, Monday. It is the 16th of September 2019. Let's see what's in the Express. Brexit deal is within our grasp. Same story there. It's also a story on the top right-hand corner of the Express, which is really pissing me off. And it's about Gareth Thomas, the Welsh rugby great former player who came out as gay, and over the weekend he has announced that he has HIV. I am not even without empathy nor sympathy for people in general, but the coverage itself, rather than Gareth Thomas, but the coverage itself is really pissing me off, and I might come back to that. So Brexit deal is within our grasp. It has been my contention for 3 years that the United Kingdom will never leave the European Union in any meaningful way. Any deal that is struck with the European Union will be Brexit in name only. It will not be leaving the European Union. It will see the United Kingdom still subject to European Union policy on any number of areas and issues. Any number of issues and areas, right? Right. It's going to be very interesting to see what, if anything, Johnson gets. Because May's deal, of course, that was defeated 4 times in the House of Commons, the one that she agreed with the European Union, was actually worse than staying in the European Union. And I won't bog you down with the details there, but it was. The Eye paper. Johnson's bid to save Brexit on October 31st. Now, you have to remember last week a Scottish court ruled that his prorogation of Parliament, basically announcing the Queen's speech and suspending Parliament, was illegal. This was after the UK High Court ruled that it was legal. So it's 1-1. It goes to the Supreme Court this week. We'll see. In fact, it might be tomorrow. We'll see. The Metro, infantile Hulk. There's Boris Johnson. I think that photograph was taken just before he steamed in to a bunch of children playing rugby or football. Johnson gave an interview to the Sunday Mail yesterday, the Mail on Sunday, and in it, quote, Johnson said something about being the Incredible Hulk or when the Hulk gets mad, something like that. I do vaguely recollect speaking about it on Sunday View yesterday morning. Vaguely. I can't remember. But the stories are everywhere. We'll eventually come across it, I think, in a minute. The Hulk analogy. The Guardian, then. Your lefty Guardian. Surge in UK children linked to county lines drug gangs. This is a recurring theme in The Guardian and on the BBC, particularly BBC Radio 5 Live. They're spending a lot of time speaking about county lines drug gangs and how children are being used to traffic drugs in the UK. And how that is linked, of course, to knife crime and very serious violence. BBC Radio 5 Live have been covering that quite a lot. I think it's time to send in Stacey Dooley. We've got to get Stacey to talk to the children. Stacey Dooley. Yeah. After Dragon's Den last night. I'm watching Dragon's Den last night, bleary-eyed, on the sofa. The future Mrs. Allen, gone. Just gone for the whole day, the future Mrs. Allen, gone. Did nothing, only spent a whole day and night in bed. Gone. She's French. They can't hold their piss. They cannot hold their piss, the French. We get up and we go to work, is what we do, the Irish. French can't hold it. So I'm watching Dragon's Den. It's pouring the tears out of me. And next thing I hear, coming up next, Stacey Dooley. Stacey Dooley meets with female suicide bombers. Stacey Dooley! Yeah, you sexist, misogynistic bastard. I am what I am. Let's have a look and see what's on the front page of the Mail. Shock rise in crime probes abandoned in 24 hours. I know what that's all about. We had this when I lived in Fallowfield. By the way, good morning, Ian Ainscoe. How you doing, son? It's been too long. You have to come and see us. We'll have to have a beer in about 3 weeks when I recover. Pal of mine, Ian. Good lad. City fan. City. Not going to mention Norwich. How can I mention anything? I'm a Salford fan these days. So we were beaten 2-0 by Cheltenham on Saturday. Miserable performance. But anyway. And we couldn't get a drink till 2:30 at the ground. Sign of things to come Saturday. How you doing, Ian? What this story is about is that the police are not investigating crimes. Because there aren't very many police men and women. Because policing, like everything else, has been destroyed by stealth. And then out in the open air to pave the way for privatisation. Listen to my conversation with John Foley from Thursday's Richie Allen show, The Liverpudlian, and how policing is being privatised by local authorities, getting private companies to chase people around and fine them for dropping litter or loitering or drinking alcohol. Private companies. So policing is being destroyed. When we lived in Fallowfield, my next door neighbour was broken into when she was away. And thankfully not much was taken, thankfully. She was shook up, understandably, I would have been myself. But she didn't get a police officer to come out for about 3 days. And then when they came out, it was like, what do you want us to do? Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe take some fucking fingerprints, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you might have the person on file, maybe. Maybe. Oh, nothing we can do. And that's the way it was. So, of course, they're abandoning. They got reams of paperwork with stuff that happens all over the weekend and all over the week. They don't have the manpower or the woman power to deal with it. So they go, ah, fuck that. Can't do anything about that. Let's just move on. But of course, the reason why we have seen a rise in petty crime and in burglaries is because we don't have the old Bobby on the beat anymore. We used to have policemen and women on the beat. I remember it from my time in Ballybeg in Waterford, where I grew up, where I loved growing up. And you would see Garda Síochána, or the Garda Síochána, the Garda Síochána. They would be around on the beat. And they knew people. They knew everybody by name. They knew who the Gurriers were. Great Irish word, isn't it, John? Gurriers. They knew who the Blackguards were. They knew. And you didn't have so much of that crime. We don't have bobbies on the beat here. I think I've been in Salford, what, 3 months now? I was in Fallowfield for nearly 5 years before that. Once in a blue moon, some absolute fucktard on a horse would come down the street. Some mounted cop, lazy, on a horse, looking around. And that was it. You know, that's what they've done. That's Thatcher's Britain for you. Always the plan, you see. That's how you privatise something. You first of all destroy it, wreck it, until people go, ah! And then you have the solution. Tell you what, let's bring in the private sector. Just a little bit now. It's still nationally controlled. That's how they do it. They're doing it to the NHS. Look at Virgin Care. Don't get me started. Here's the Times. Iran tells US it is ready for fully fledged war. This is serious stuff. Let's get into this for a couple of minutes. This will make up some of the Richie Allen radio show today even. Where's the story? Where is the story? Iran tells US it is ready for fully fledged war. There's the story inside the paper. And there's the proof, apparently, of the Iranian drone strike on the Saudi facilities. Well, if the US, if Mike Pompeo tells you it happened, it fucking happened then, eh? Yes, it was Iran, yes, our intelligence. Oh, it wasn't. Oh, no problem, pal. Get the birds in the air. Let me read you some of this garbage in the Times. All the papers this morning supporting this shit, these are the same newspapers who swore after the Iraq war debacle that they would never let the country down again. The fucking papers, like The Guardian, who apologised and said when they were lying about Iraq, we were asleep on our fucking watch, we won't do it again. Well, I'll tell you something, September 16th, 2019, they're doing it again. The same fucking liars. Iran is doing this, Iran is doing that. Let me read you this garbage. And you know, before I came up here to do this morning, Neil Patterson on Sky was interviewing the Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab. And not one fucking time in the conversation did Patterson say to him, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Where's the proof, you lying sack of shit? Karate black belt my arse. I'll fucking have you. Dominic Raab, huh? Huh? Iran, rogue state, Iran, the regime, Iran, Iran's the problem. Fucking scumbag, lawyers, murderers, fucking driving the world to another war for no reason that'll kill millions of people. This is what's going on. Fucking wake up to it. And the time to talk about it is over. The time's for action now, to do something about these people, whatever that is. Let me read you this in the Times. What fucking reason would Iran have to strike at Saudi Arabian oil facilities? What? In the current climate? Even if Iran was the most evil regime on planet Earth, and it isn't, it's far fucking from it, right? Even if it was full to the brim with lunatics in its government, which it isn't, right? They wouldn't do that. They're not stupid. You don't give open goals to your fucking enemies, do you? Huh? Imagine them in Tehran. Let's get a drone up in the sky and blow the fuck out of some Saudi Arabian oil facilities. Yeah. Come on. Come on, people. Here it is. I mean, who benefits? Ask the question. Who benefits most today? Israel. Huh? Who benefits? What reason would Iran have to? Oh, because they're backing the Houthi rebels. Whether they are or whether they're not. Iran didn't do that. It's as simple as that. Not in a million years. So the Times today, the Telegraph today, they're all full of stories about the Iranians did it. Mike Pompeo said there's no evidence that the drones came from Yemen. Iran is responsible and Iran would be held accountable for its aggression. Said Mike the lying bastard Pompeo. You remember Mike? Do you remember Mike?
I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It was like, we had entire training courses.
Funny guy, huh?
It reminds you of the
there's
the
Mike
glory
Pompeo,
of
the U.S. Secretary of State, warmongering Zionist fucking madman. We had entire courses on lying, cheating, and stealing. Because that's what we do. We lie, we cheat, we steal. But that's only the half of it. Then we bomb, we maim, we wreck, we sack countries. We raise them to the fucking ground. And we do it on behalf of Israel. Yeah. Yeah. What's that guy, Kupperman? He was the deputy national security advisor to Trump. He's now the national security advisor, interim. After they sacked John Bolton, after Trump sacked John Bolton. Oh, brilliant. Oh, brilliant, said the progressives. Brilliant. He sacked John Bolton. He's put another dual citizenship, dual fucking loyalty, Zionist Jewish guy in there instead of Bolton. And now you have this. And you know how you find out who really did this? You get onto the markets and you find out who optioned the price of oil going up. That's how you find out who's behind it. Who made money out of it? Who made money out of that? Who knew that these oil facilities were going to be attacked and speculated on such an outcome? Yeah. That's how it goes, you know. But the lamestream fucking media, no chance. No, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. We won't look into that. No. That's not our remit. We must just repeat and rinse and repeat the fucking lies that we get told by maniacs like Mike Pompeo. Neil Patterson sitting there this morning with his jockey voice on him. See you, Jimmy. Oh, you fucking scumbag. Do your job one time. I'll go to bat for you, you know. If you do your job one time, just one time do your job and say it to these people. Yeah, but you've been telling us lies for decades. So why this morning should we think you're not telling us lies? Mad times, folks. What's in the Mirror? Fuck the Mirror. What's in the Financial Times? Saudis seek to reassure markets as attack halves oil production. Isn't that lovely? The price of oil's gone up. BBC's all over this, of course. Oil prices soar. Who makes money off it? Who knew it was coming? I guarantee you, before the weekend, there were unusual bets being made on oil going up spectacularly. Brent crude, 10% up. Somebody knew. Somebody made money. Guaranteed. These people can't help themselves. Sure, it would occur to some of these people, well, we shouldn't really speculate because it'll be obvious then when the oil facility is attacked, it'll be obvious. So we shouldn't really speculate. They can't fucking help themselves. That's greed. Oh, go on, have a few million on the price of oil going up. Option it. Option the price of oil going up. Yeah? Israel. Undoubtedly. Daily Mirror, Rod Stewart, I've beaten cancer. Rod will be at the Manchester Arena in November, and so will I. I'm looking forward to that. Bit of Rod. Bit of Maggie May. Bit of Do You Think I'm Sexy. Bit of Baby Jane. Bit of The Rhythm of My Heart. So what's in the Sun then? Don't mention Meghan. If you happen to be a guest of the Queen at one of these Buckingham Palace tea parties, and you never know, you might get an OBE or something. Just don't bring up Meghan, because apparently the Queen fucking hates Meghan. Here we are. Don't we all, love? Horror films kill off clowns. Parents are scared to hire entertainers dressed as clowns for their kiddies' parties because of films like It and It Part 2 and all the rest of it. That's the star. And we should get ready for Hot-tober. Because it's going to be hot, apparently. Lovely stuff. So where are we? All the lies. All the lies about Iran this morning. Country that's not attacked anybody in over 400 years, Iran. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Thanks for all the comments, by the way. If I start reading them, I'll be here all day, and I've really got to get through this and then go and do my pre-recorded interview for today's radio show. Let's do a couple of quick stories. The Guardian, they love these stories. Johnson's burqa jibes are dehumanising, says Sarah Khan. She's an advisor on extremism to The Guardian. And she says that if it was wrong for the Prime Minister to liken Muslim women wearing burqas to bank robbers and letterboxes when he did so in his own column on The Telegraph back in 2018, she said, politicians from across the divide need to be very careful of their language. I find that language personally demeaning, dehumanising. I don't think we need to use that type of language. Nobody should be very careful of their language. That's self-censorship. Leave being careful about your language to radio producers like me, who have to watch out for libel. But if you've got something to say from the heart, say it. And take the consequences, good or bad, or indifferent. Whatever's really on your mind, don't be scared of saying it. Don't be scared of being wrong. I'm wrong a lot. Doesn't matter. Say what you feel. And to hell with all the begrudgers. Fuck all the begrudgers, as we say in God's country. F-A-T-B. Fuck them. You know, I'm offended, as the great comedian Steve used. I'm offended. Well, fuck you. You choose to be offended. This is my opinion. It doesn't make me Genghis fucking Khan. It's just how I feel. Now, I despise Boris Johnson, of course, for many reasons. But he's not dehumanising anybody by saying they look like letterboxes. I would go one further. I would say they look fucking ridiculous. Re-fucking-diculous is what they look like. Walking around like that. Alongside their husband and their children. You look like a fucking moron, love. Huh? I'm offended. I couldn't give a shit. Now, what I don't do is I don't volunteer that information. Because I don't believe in putting myself onto people. It's only if somebody says to me, what do you think of that, Richie? That's just fucking ridiculous. Religion is madness anyway. Tantamount to madness, in my opinion. Judaism, Catholicism, Christianity, Protestantism, they're all fucking lunacy. Islam, lunacy. You know, there is a benevolent creator in the sky watching us all while he's having a laugh. And choosing who gets to join him in paradise like some big fucking reality TV game show. No, it's bullshit. Bullshit. It's a cop-out. Control mechanism to keep you fucking quiet. It stops you from doing anything about the situation that you're in. Because you think, oh well, things are shit, but I'll just suffer. And then I'll be with the baby Jesus. At the end. No, you won't. There is no baby Jesus. I'll only ever say that, by the way, when Tyson Fury is not in the country. Jeez, did you see the state of Tyson Fury? I didn't wait up for it. I didn't wait up for it. Saturday night. Gareth Thomas came out as being gay. Lovely. Now he's come on TV crying like, what do you call it? Hegging your heart, we would say in Ireland. Like buckets of tears. Because he's HIV positive. And people like Martin Samuel in the Daily Mail are calling him a true hero. I mean, the virtue of signalling is going to new and great lengths. Why is he a hero? Because he shagged like a fucking rabbit at a time when he knew that HIV was serious and it was transmitted sexually through sexual contact. And he took great risks. And maybe infected other people as well. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And he's a hero, is he? He's not a hero, he's just a man. He's a fallible man, like me. I've made as many mistakes as Gareth Thomas. I'm not a better man than Gareth Thomas. But stop calling him a fucking hero, because he ain't a hero. He's a fucking idiot. And he is a attention whore now. Oh, I've got HIV. Oh, it was terrible coming out as being gay. Oh, fuck off, pal. You know? And you wouldn't have HIV if you either kept it in your fucking underpants or if you used protection while you were having sex. Hero, says Martin Samuel. Fuck off, Martin. You know better than that. Nonsense. He's not a hero. He's not a hero at all. He's a sad fucking man. He's a moron. Naomi Campbell is wearing a dress that looks like she got shot by somebody. And this has been reported in a number of papers today. She took her stand at London's British Museum on Saturday evening. Her stand against violence. Naomi Campbell. All across Brixton now. Young men are going, fucking put those guns away. Did you see that picture of Naomi Campbell the other night? Changed me life. Changed me life, so it did. Naomi Campbell. Somebody said to me recently, you're always saying the stuff is not racist, Richie. You're always saying that, you big fucking baldy German. There must be something that you find racist. There must be something you agree with. Well, yeah, there is. this fucking idiot here, Italian soccer pundit, talking about Romelu Lukaku, said, he'll beat you with speed, he's a good player, but you're okay as a defender if you have 10 bananas to give him to eat. That's racism. That's fucking shocking. So to answer your question, those of you who think that I find nothing, you know, to be wrong, no, I'm not offended by that because I'm not black. But if I was black, I would think, what a fucking idiot he is. But he's been fired, quite rightly. You can't say stuff like that. It's ridiculous. So there you are. To answer your question, yes, that is racist, patently. Guy thinks it's okay to talk about people as... to that's dehumanising, to refer to people as monkeys. Talented young men, successful young men, call them monkeys. Fuck you. You're out of a job. And that's that. Luciano Pazzorani. Widely condemned and he's been banned, so he's gone. There you are. All right? But what do you do? You know, I say this on the show time and time again. You got to live with these people. Got to live amongst them. You can't get rid of them. You can't exile them. You can't put them in jail. You can't ban them from going to the supermarket. You can't ban them from driving, which a lot of people want to do. They want to basically obliterate anybody with these ridiculous, antiquated, stupid fucking views. And I get into trouble because I say, no, they're human beings. Flawed, but aren't we all? We live amongst them and they live amongst us and we have to put up with that. Like it or lump it. What else have we got this morning? I've got to hurry up here. Oh, this is the Hulk thing. Johnson, this is in the mail. Johnson isn't the Hulk, says the Hulk. This is how crazy it's getting. And I've tried to explain this on the radio show Monologues quite a lot about this paradigm, how it's evolving and where it's going. This is how it's going. Serious political debate and analysis is being reduced to this fucking nonsense here. Tweets from the Hulk to Boris Johnson. Because Johnson said he was going to Hulk out in his meeting with Jean-Claude Ever the fucking drunker, Jean-Claude Juncker. I'm going to Hulk out. And the Hulk was offended. The real Hulk. Of course, he's not the real Hulk. We all know that. Bill Bixby. One of my favourite ever jokes from The Simpsons. Comic book man. Please. You couldn't even change into Bill Bixby. That's what I would say to Boris Johnson. You couldn't even change into Bill Bixby. So anyway, what did he tweet exactly, did Mark Ruffalo, in this mad world we live in? He tweeted, Boris Johnson forgets that the Hulk only fights for the good of the whole. Mad and strong can also be dense and destructive. The Hulk works best when he is in unison with a team and is a disaster when he is alone. Plus, he's always got Dr. Banner with science and with reason. Don't you fucking dare compare yourself to the Hulk, said Mark Ruffalo. Under a fucking Jesus Christ Almighty. What else have we got for you? What else have we got? This arsehole Trump, we're locked and loaded. We've done that already. Leave that alone. Gary Lineker, old jug ears, and Rachel Riley have said they will no longer engage with Twitter trolls. They were quickly joined by Sadiq Khan. Because apparently if you engage with Twitter trolls, you amplify them and you help to spread their hate. And we can't have that. Lineker... he's detestable in every sense of the word, Gary Lineker, isn't he? Dreadful. Rachel Riley is the Oxford graduate who does the sums on Countdown. Clever girl, but she's Jewish and for some reason about 2 years ago decided to go all rabid Zionist on Twitter and accusing everybody of being anti-Semitic, Rachel Riley. So this is the new thing now. Don't engage with him now. Don't engage with him. What was very interesting was this morning on BBC Radio 5 Live, Nikki Campbell made me giggle because Campbell suggested that people like Gary Lineker often retweet the trolls through a kind of a sense of martyrdom. Virtue signalling, basically. They would retweet the trolls to say, you see what I have to put up with? You see the abuse that I have to get because I'm important? And I thought, Nikki! you might just be onto something there. As for Rachel Riley, I don't know very much about Rachel Riley. I don't watch Countdown anymore. When Carol Vorderman left Countdown, that was it for me. I'm from the Father Dougal Maguire school of Carol Vorderman fandom. I used to dream about Carol Vorderman, like Father Dougal. Give us a P, give us a consonant, give us a consonant, Carol, give us a consonant. Give us a vowel. Give us four numbers from the top and two from the bottom, Carol. Loved Carol Vorderman, but she retired. Richard Whiteley was brilliant. So I don't watch it anymore, but she's apparently a little Jewish princess, a little hysterical, apparently. Gets very hysterical about anti-Semitism. Won't somebody please think of the children? And the Lib Dems have their conference. Look at that, I gave you that already. Look, fuck off. Here you are. The Lib Dems have decided that if they win a majority at the next election, they won't, of course, but if they do, they will revoke Article 50 and stop the process of leaving the European Union. And they will do that without a new referendum. And I haven't seen any of the talk shows this morning, but my listeners reliably inform me through the medium of Twitter that she has taken a bit of a pasting on Good Morning Britain. And I did hear her speak to Nicky Campbell on Radio 5 Live. He didn't give her a pasting, but he did ask her about democracy and the 17.4 million. So that's Joe Swinson there. That's in the Times as well. The Times. What else have I got for you? And Sam Smith, who at one time said he's gay, is now saying he's non-binary. And Douglas Murray has waded into this up to his chest today. He's waded in up to his chest as a Douglas Murray, and has written an excellent piece in the Telegraph today, ripping the piss out of Sam Smith. Particularly because when Sam has been asked to explain the details and what it entails to be non-binary, he said, "I am at no stage just yet to eloquently speak at length about what it means to be non-binary. But I know in my heart of hearts I am non-binary." Fucking idiot, huh? This is where it's all going. This is where it's all going. And in the next census taken in this country, children will be asked to self-identify. I'm not joking. If you don't believe me, Google it. Fucking Google. Look it up on any search engine and you'll see that the UK's next census will include questions for children around, what are you, by the way? Here's a list. I'm birth gender. I'm going to fucking do the census next time it comes out. I'll give him some answers, so I will. That's it for me for this. Anyway, I've been on for over a half an hour. I've got to run and prepare for a recorded interview. Sorry I've not gotten into the messages. I will tomorrow, as I normally do, but I am in a bit of a hurry today. I would have had a few more minutes if I had to turn on the fucking microphone at the beginning of this, but anyway. Oh, yeah. Right. Nice to hear from Ian Ainscow, by the way, my old pal. I hope to see you out here soon, pal. And everybody else who sent me messages. That is it for me until 5 o'clock for the Richie Allen Radio Show live at 5. It is bye from me. Bye now. 5. It is bye from me. Bye now.